Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information. My friends, it was a sad, sad weekend. Welcome back to Podcast 59 of 2019. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can tweet me at OBKiev. Tweet us at The Odds Breakers. Follow us on social media / The Odds Breakers. This episode's being sponsored by MyBookie.ag. For a 50% bonus, please visit MyBookie and use the promo code TheOddsBreakers. Terms and conditions apply. If you'd like to help us out with our costs, sponsor the podcast and website, we'd love to help you out. Please visit TheOddsBreakers.com. Click shop and become a member for $17.99 a month. You can get my plays and premium plays before the line moves for $2 more. You can have all that and become a patron subscriber and get the podcast a little early. If nothing else, please visit theoddsbreakers.com to become a free picks newsletter subscriber. That's right, my friends. Wisconsin, my favorite football, basketball, hockey. Well, I went to school there. Lost. Lost. To Illinois, straight up lost. Largest upset of the entire year in football as a 31-point favorite. Just absolute disappointment, you know. And unfortunately, what takes to have a big upset like that is a good team playing bad and a bad team playing out of their minds or good. I mean, Peterman, their quarterback, was throwing through small windows, very small windows at the end of that game, and making passes, completing them. The Badgers could not get to him. And that's pretty much what happened. I call him Peterman. I meant Brandon Peters. He was absolutely fantastic that game. As a matter of fact, his year hasn't been that bad either. 970 yards, 12 TDs, 4 interceptions. He was injured a little bit. But Wisconsin was outcoached by Lovie Smith. This is the second time Lovie has destroyed me. As you know, I'm a Bear fan, which also didn't go so well, did it? And Lovie lost the Super Bowl to the Colts, Peyton Manning, and that hurt. And now he takes out my Badgers, top six Badgers, in a weekend before they play Ohio State. And Paul Christ, you know, he can scheme up some plays. Obviously, he can prep for the schematics of a game in a way. But he can also overlook teams like he did for Illinois. He also can't prepare the team to face these letdown situations and look ahead situations. When you're up 9 points, the most important thing, even what there's one thing that you can't do, turn the ball over. As a matter of fact, you're better off just taking a knee for 4 downs and punting it than fumbling it and giving them field position. Jonathan Taylor tried for extra yards after getting the first down for no reason whatsoever and fumbled the ball up 9 points at, you know, midfield. When that happened, I knew Wisconsin was going to lose to Illinois. They scored a touchdown, down 2 points. Cone throws an interception on the very next drive. They get in field goal range. nail the field goal. He only had to go 20, 25 yards, whatever. That's how you let down and lose a game. And it was brutal because now the playoff hopes for the Badgers are terrible. Okay? They went from good to very bad. I mean, this is the whole reason Ohio State didn't get in last year was their Purdue loss. And now what's going to happen is you're going to have Clemson with that cake-ass schedule waltz right into the playoffs. You're going to have the loser of the Alabama-LSU game. They are going to go right into the playoffs without having to play in the SEC championship as an at-large. You're going to have your SEC champion going to the playoffs. And Oklahoma could even afford a freaking loss against like a Baylor, an Iowa State. And they may still go over Wisconsin if they would run the table. Oh, not to mention, what if Georgia beats Alabama that's undefeated in the SEC championship game? Then you have some chaos. Plus, Notre Dame is lingering with the one loss there. I mean, the Badgers would need absolute utter chaos and a win out to get in. But the good news, they probably won't win out anyway because they play the number one freaking team in the nation, in my book, Ohio State. Okay? Ohio State is opened at a 14.5 point favorite. I think it's going to close at 17.5. I went doubt if it went all the way to, past 20.5. It's probably going to close at 17.5 before the game. You might want to bet it now and maybe buy back later if that's what your plan is. Or just enjoy the game and watch it or live bet it. I have a live betting strategy for this game that I'll go over in our next episode this week. But as of right now, awful weekend for my sports. And, you can go right into the Chicago Bears. Mitch Trubisky, he is a 100% bust. Bust. All right. Mel Kiper had him the top of his draft board for some stupid reason. The dude played 1 year in college with North Carolina, lost easy games, barely had any experience, and he's a top guy over Deshaun Watson, who freaking won the championship against Alabama for Clemson, played two and a half years of starting football. And you draft Mitch Trubisky that looks like he's scared shitless and can't hit the broadside of a freaking barn. That is your GM right there, Ryan Pace, that completely blew it. Ryan Pace for the Chicago Bears, he gets way too much credit. I mean, Khalil Mack, any idiot could have gave up two first-round picks for 2 years in a freaking row to get Khalil Mack. That isn't hard to do. And next year, they don't have a first-round pick, and they didn't this year. All right? Don't give him credit for that. I mean, absolute stupidity. Akeem Hicks, he came from the Saints where he was, and he paid him a ton of money. Ryan Pace is more of a bust than Mitch Trubisky is because Ryan Pace drafted him and put together this awful, god-awful offense. Matt Nagy, he's an offensive coordinator. He does not know how to coach. He knows how to coordinate. He knows how to draw plays in certain situations. He does not know how to coach football. All right, well, there's my rant, and obviously, it wasn't all that bad. Another weekend of, great in the NFL we did, positive, a little bit negative, 9-11 in college. But to be honest with you, I'm fine with that, breaking even again, because college, a lot of big players and big sports bettors got their asses kicked this weekend. I mean, I wasn't the only one on the Oregon under. I wasn't the only one on the Clemson over. At least I had the freaking balls to bet Michigan while everybody else was betting Penn State. And that brought me back to where I'm supposed to be. Well, at least even whatever. I'm supposed to be profitable. Barely profitable for the year still, but you know, I'm fine with that. So, good news is, even though we are on the same sides as a lot of sharp bettors, and I'm sure this is not the only podcast you listen to, there's probably a few others, and you know who I'm talking about. You know, I lost those games as well. Sometimes I go to those people, tweeting them, texting them, or just listening to them, and they take me over the edge to make a bet. Sometimes I'm on the fence, almost ready to bet. And then they like a side. I'm like, okay, well, they like it. That's enough. Well, that doesn't always work out for you because some of those games went that way. I actually would have been profitable if I didn't buy back on on the over for Colorado in the second half. You know, I nailed that one down under 71. It was raining, but I still thought Colorado's defense was so bad. But they only mustered up 10 points, so that didn't get us to the dance. And I tried to middle that Temple game. I had SMU minus 6. It closed at 9. I bought back on Temple. Otherwise, it would have been profitable, but it's so close, I don't care. Still, great weekend of betting. Terrible weekend of being a fan. You know, and doing a quick recap of this weekend. Obviously, I talked about Wisconsin letting down. Ohio State just took care of business against Northwestern and now has an extra day to prepare for the Badgers. And you know, the Badgers are a little bit fraudulent, obviously. They have some problems. Their defense can be cut up. But they didn't do Ohio State any favors, did they? Did Wisconsin do it? No. Because now, if Ohio State beats Wisconsin, it's less of a win. And if Ohio State loses to Wisconsin, you know, it's less forgiving loss, right? Because, you know, Wisconsin dropped in the AP. They're down to 13, I believe, now. So they sure as hell didn't do Ohio State any favors. But, you know, if Ohio State blows them out, they'll be just freaking fine as it is. Oh, actually, if Ohio State wins, they're still fine. Doesn't even matter. All right, well, Alabama had a little bit of a scare against Tennessee, but turned it on at the end. I mean, I guess it wasn't much of a scare. What was it, 21-10 at halftime? But ended up winning 35-13. LSU took out Mississippi State. Wasn't even much of a game. LSU is showing that Dave Aranda, former Badger, defensive coordinator, now LSU defensive coordinator, making over $1 million a year, deserves it because their defense is showing up now. And LSU is very close to Alabama in my power ratings, and I wouldn't be shocked if LSU pulls out that upset. Clemson. I mean, they scored plenty of points, covered their spread, but Louisville just couldn't score anything. I told you I needed 21 out of Louisville to hit that over, and well, Clemson got me the 45, but Louisville only stuck at 10 points there at home.
Unreal.
You know, those overs are tough when you bet these really top teams because there's a chance that they're literally going to shut out the other team. You know, I just thought this was the spot that Louisville had a shot at, and they just didn't show up. Oklahoma did. They covered their spread against West Virginia. And Michigan at Penn State. Penn State is outgained again. They're 7-0, and they are outgained on four games. And still pulled off the wins. You know, if you watch the beginning of that Penn State-Michigan game, you knew Michigan didn't have a chance, down 21-0. The officials pretty much made sure of that as well. I kind of said Penn State's handsy. Well, they're extremely handsy, but the officials just get sick of calling it. And they did it correctly the second half, but unfortunately, Michigan couldn't quite catch up. If they had another quarter, they might have. They had a shot, and Bell dropped that touchdown pass. I feel bad for the kid. But at the same time, Michigan got jumped by Penn State. Terrible officiating. Two pass interference calls were blown by these officials. I mean, they deserve better than that. Harbaugh has it tough enough, you know, taking so much criticism, and then the officials even screw him. That is just not good. Not good for the Big Ten. bad look for college football. But, you know, we'll see what happens to Michigan and Harbaugh. I kind of like him being there, to be honest with you. I don't know why. I like him in the Big Ten. Florida took care of business against South Carolina, another huge under that everyone missed out on. Had so much line value on this one. And ends up going to hell. Somehow they're just scoring points left and right here. I kind of thought Florida's offense wouldn't show up as much as they did, but they did it because they know that if they win out, they have a shot. Georgia shut out Kentucky, but only scored 21 points. It's a little worrisome for Georgia. I have LSU ahead of Georgia now. Took me a while, but I had to make that decision there because Georgia's just not showing that they're a top three or four team. It's Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU. Georgia's on the outside looking in right now. That could change, but right now they are on the outside looking in. And they have a bye week. All right, other big games. Oregon took care of business at Washington. That other windy, rainy type game went over because the offenses played great. The defenses didn't. But Oregon did shut out Washington in the fourth quarter and scored 7 points, enough to pull ahead and win by four. ASU versus Utah, we hit the under, but we didn't hit the ASU side because Herm Edwards just couldn't get it going with this team. Jaden Daniels was only 4 for 18 passing, 25 yards and an interception. That's 1.4 yards per attempt. I mean, that's poor. Now, was it rainy? Yes. Was it windy? Yes. But you got to get one freaking touchdown there. That's how we lost this one. But I still like the side, and I would have bet it again. That's just sometimes the way the ball bounces in football. Glad we hit the under. Another upset. BYU beat Boise State. I almost bet BYU here. But Boise scored 15 in the fourth and was on the comeback. And just couldn't quite pull it together. But I do have Boise State under 10 wins. Now I'm just hoping that they just get to 10, lose one more. Very possible they play Utah State, but otherwise their schedule is pretty easy. I guess Air Force and Utah State would be my shot there. No, they already beat Air Force. It'd be Utah State. And otherwise their schedule is pretty easy, but they took themselves out of that whole at-large playoff thing. I mean, looking at the top 7, 8, 9 teams, there's no at-large getting in this. No chance. SMU, good luck, but we'll see. I do like SMU. They've been just killing it lately. All right. Texas, huge scare against Kansas. In the fourth quarter, they scored 24 points. And Texas scored 26. 50 total points in the fourth quarter. Crazy. Just a crazy fourth quarter. Another bet that lots of sharp people were on was Oklahoma State -4. I got it at -3 and still lost. Baylor, you know, we have that future at 26-1 on Baylor to win the Big 12. I just need them to get to the championship game to hedge that. So real happy with at least what I did there. Minnesota still undefeated, somewhat fraudulent, but they're getting better right now. If they played Wisconsin, I probably would only have it like a 7-point spread in Minnesota. It's going to happen at the last game, but yeah, right now, maybe a 7-point spread, maybe less even. Look at my power ratings. I think I have it more of a 5-point spread. Iowa handled Purdue, but that was kind of a scare for them too. So only won 26-20. Purdue. Jack Plummer's playing a little bit better. 30 for 50 in passing, 327 yards and 2 TDs. That's Jeff Bromquist coaching him up right there. You know, he's a great passing type of coach. Oh, the only thing that made me slightly feel better is Vanderbilt beat Missouri. It was, I don't know how Vandy won. I mean, they're terrible. But I mean, that's what happens sometimes. Teams play out of their mind, just like Illinois. They won at home. Missouri was probably flat, just a complete flat spot for them. NFL, the San Francisco 49ers still look awesome, you know. The Green Bay Packers destroyed Oakland, and I didn't bet Oakland. Lots of people did. You saw that thing spread move +6, +5, +4.5. Yeah, because Green Bay was bullshitting everyone, saying their receivers were hurt. Well, guess what? Two of their three receivers played, and they freaking looked absolutely fine. 6 touchdowns for Rodgers. All right, 6. Pretty big number there. Elephant in the room. Patrick Mahomes is injured, but it's not too bad. I can see him coming back in a couple weeks. David Moore is going to take his spot. And I only downgraded Mahomes to Moore 3.5 points. Now, everyone says, no, Mahomes, one of those quarterbacks, worth 7-8 points. Yeah, he's worth 7-8 points compared to going down to nothing. But Moore is used to this role, and he still has Andy Reid as his coach. Some dinking and dunking's going to happen, obviously. But I downgraded him 3.5 points, and we're going to see if I'm right, because they get Green Bay at home. Sean Payton's a great coach, probably top 5 in the NFL. And he showed that. Teddy Bridgewater kicked the Bears' ass. Chicago Bears' defense didn't even show up that game. Their defense hasn't showed up in a while, it looks like, as a matter of fact, since Oakland in London. You know, club dub my ass. Club missed the playoffs is what it's going to freaking be, unless they get their heads out of their asses. Another crazy thing, well, Dallas destroyed the Eagles. I guess Dallas was in a huge get-up spot, but the Eagles are still very injured. The Eagles might have a little bit of value now, finally, to actually bet on them. We'll see what happens. It's who they're playing next game. Cardinals took care of the Giants. We lost that one. The Giants' defense is pretty bad, and the Cardinals keep improving. Kyler Murray keeps improving. They're a dangerous team. Now, they don't have a hell of a defense, and they're going to have, you know, a reality check one of these weeks, but they won again. They went all the way to New York and won. They jumped the Giants. The Giants tried to make a game out of it, kind of came back. Not enough. You know, that's pretty interesting right there, what's going on. Kyler Murray, he's starting to look the part. He's kind of like Russell Wilson. Atlanta. Oh, my God. I mean, a lot of people picked Atlanta. I didn't. I stayed away from the side on that. But I did take the total under 54 and bought back in the second half over 27 and doubled up on both. But, man, I think that their coach is toast now. Dan Quinn. I mean, who's worse, Anthony Lynn or Dan Quinn? Anthony Lynn on the Chargers or Dan Quinn on the Falcons. Should be a Twitter poll out there for it. But, you know, that's good enough for a recap here. College football misleading final scores. And right before I talk about misleading final scores, I forgot to mention Tua Tagovailoa suffered a high ankle sprain. But he should be back in a couple weeks. Now, Bama fans are probably freaking out a little bit, but I think this is a good thing. I mean, it's Arkansas. What you're doing is benching him, obviously, for that game and reducing the risk of a real injury, ACL, you know, torn hamstring, something terrible, right? So you're taking that away from a bad game. I mean, I would almost argue that you should bench Tua that's healthy under Arkansas unless you're losing or the score is close in the second half. Then maybe, you know, obviously you put him in. But no reason to force him to do stuff like that. And I think it could be a blessing in disguise. But the bad thing is if it lingers. And we've seen this happen with Patty Mahomes and, you know, some other quarterbacks with these ankles that can linger. Doesn't mean it will. But Bama fans, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think you're going to be absolutely all right. All right, misleading final scores. We'll start right with Wisconsin versus Illinois. Wisconsin outgained Illinois by 105 yards. Over 40 minutes of time of possession. Illinois only 2 for 9 on third down and still lost. 3-1 turnover ratio and the whole environment let down. There you go. UNLV versus Fresno State. Fresno outgained UNLV by 70 yards, yet won by 29 points. It's like 70 yards, you only outgained them, and you won by 29. That's that 5-0 turnover ratio. Yeah, UNLV. Let down after your Vandy game. Florida versus South Carolina. South Carolina outgained Florida by 33 yards, yet lost by 11. It's a lot to lose by. Bad efficiency. Houston versus UConn. UConn outgained Houston by 154 yards and still lost by 7 and only one turnover for the Huskies. Brutal. TCU versus Kansas State. TCU outgained K-State by 100 yards, yet lost by 7. No turnovers. Just bad efficiency. New Mexico versus Wyoming. New Mexico outgained Wyoming by 27 yards and lost by 13. Kind of a common theme there. Tulsa versus Cincinnati. Tulsa outgained Cincinnati by 60 yards and lost. 5-2 turnover ratio there. I wonder if some value on Tulsa this week. There might be. Michigan versus Penn State. Michigan outgained Penn State by 134 yards and still lost. Like I said, the beginning of the game, dropping 21-0. Whiteout, officials, Penn State, tough defense. Everything kind of just built up against Michigan. They needed another quarter in that game. Texas A&M versus Mississippi. Ole Miss outgained A&M by 68 yards, yet lost by 7. College football week 9 betting spots. Illinois at Purdue. Well, we're starting with letdowns as usually. This is a letdown spot for Illinois after they beat Wisconsin at Purdue. Penn State at Michigan State due to their huge locker room celebration after winning as a 7.5-point favorite. I mean, I think they overdid it a little bit. Maybe it's because they lost last year to Michigan, but yeah, Michigan State, they're lurking. They're coming off a bye week. Oregon at Washington State is a letdown spot after beating Washington. BYU, Oregon State, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, and Vandy all have bye weeks after their huge wins this week. That sucks because there is no letdown spots to fade them. BYU beat Boise State. You know, Oregon State beat Cal. Virginia Tech beat North Carolina. Huge. Vanderbilt, as you know, beat Missouri. All of them have bye weeks. Kind of crazy. It's crazy how that happened. Okay, so going to get up spots since there's no more letdowns. Western Michigan versus Bowling Green after losing to a bad Eastern Michigan team. Ugh. Rice hosting Southern Miss. They need a win badly. They're 0-7. I think Rice is better than this. Oklahoma State at Iowa State after losing to Baylor is a get-up spot. TCU hosting Texas after losing to Kansas State. Wow, did Texas escape that game too against Kansas? Temple hosting UCF is interesting after they lost bad to SMU. The American Athletic Conference is pretty loaded this way, this year, I mean. Look ahead spots. SMU could be looking past Houston to Memphis. Memphis could be looking past Tulsa to SMU. Oregon could be looking past Washington State to USC. So there's a big sandwich for Oregon right here between Washington and USC. USC could be looking past Colorado to Oregon. Colorado is still real injured. Make sure you check that report. Utah could be looking past Cal to Washington. And Florida and Georgia both have byes, unfortunately, because the biggest cocktail party is coming up in a couple of weeks. Now it is time for the Big Ten power ratings, and we're going to start off with Ohio State, upgraded 0.75 points from 27.5 to 28. ESPN has them at 31.7. Team rankings has them at 38.6 points better than the average team. There is a new number two in town, and it is Penn State. no matter what, they just keep winning. They got something going on there. And, you know, you just obviously I complain about the officials a lot, but they're still a very good team. And I was wrong about them. I underrated them and I shouldn't have. They are at 18.5, up from 17.5. I actually have Wisconsin about the same, but Penn State, I have them just, you know, a nudge higher. They're undefeated. So Penn State gets the nod there. And Penn State, ESPN's kept them the same at 22.9, and Team Rankings downgraded them to 25.1. So that tells you a little bit of something about the last game. Wisconsin, like I said, 18.5. I downgraded them from 21. You can't lose to Illinois like that. But that's on the coaching. And it's also on the fact that Jack Cohn threw that interception and couldn't put it together at the end of the game. Michigan staying at 16. They covered the spread. ESPN has them at 15.2. Team ranking 16.3. It looks like they're in line with me now. Michigan State, 13. Looks like they had the bye week. Iowa, I downgraded from 13 down to 12. It looks like ESPN has them at 12.4. Team rankings 13.5. It's about the same. Minnesota, I have at 11.5 still. Not going to give you too much credit for beating Rutgers, but ESPN is catching up at 10.4. Team rankings at 7.5. Like 3 weeks ago, these sites had them at like zero. Nebraska, 7. Bye week. And we'll see if they can put it together with Adrian Martinez. ESPN has them only at 0.9. Team rankings 2.2. I'm higher on Nebraska than them. Indiana 5.5. Easy game against Maryland, so no upgrade. But ESPN has them at 6. Team rankings 7.3. Northwestern, I downgrade from 5.25 down to 5. I'm not going to punish you that much for getting blown up by the best team, Ohio State. ESPN has them at minus 1.8. Team rankings 1.4. Purdue, slight upgrade to 1.5 for hanging with Iowa. ESPN has them at 1.4 and team rankings 2.5. They upgraded them by 3 or 4 points, so I was a little closer on Purdue than others. Maryland, 0.5. No huge downgrade for me. It's about the same as ESPN, as I'm at 0.9. Team rankings 3.7. Illinois, slight upgrade from minus 2.5 to minus 2. Yeah, this was more of a Badger collapse, but I still think Illinois can be dangerous. It's like I said before, they have a lot of talent on that team, and when they can put it together, you can see some speed there. So it's just, they just got to win a couple in a row. You know, you can't lose to Eastern Michigan. You know, it's just minus two, but I'd be scared to bet against Illinois. They've been covering the spread lately. ESPN has them at minus 4.2, team rankings minus 3.8. Rutgers, I mean, if I keep downgrading them, they're going to be into Earth's mantle pretty quickly here. Minus 16, I have downgraded them a half or a full point. ESPN has them at minus 18.2. Team rankings has them at minus 21.4. The Rutgers is one of the top 10 worst teams in college football out of 130. That's pretty bad. All right, and now it is time for our free college football pick for you. Nice and early play for college football week 9, and we are going to Northwestern versus Iowa. Northwestern has a terrible offense, as you know. They only averaged 3.8 yards per play, but they had a tough schedule facing teams like Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Stanford. Yeah, kind of. They have decent defense, you know, and I think this is the game that they kind of put it together here. They still have a decent defense, allowing only 4.36 rushing yards per attempt and 5.26 yards per play. And we know Iowa doesn't score a ton. They're averaging 5.6 yards per play, giving up 4.7 on defense. So Northwestern's going to have to score a couple points here, but they're at home. You saw how Northwestern can fight when they're down. And you saw them show something when they played Wisconsin. They actually, I think they almost outgained Wisconsin in that game. It was really close. And so I think Northwestern's going to keep this close enough. This game is always within like 3 to 6 points. And Iowa is laying 9.5. I mean, Iowa's offense the last few weeks at Michigan scored 3 points. At home against Penn State scored 12 points. Purdue, they have a terrible defense, and they scored 26 points. They only scored 18 points against Iowa State. You know, I'm going to throw out Rutgers and Miami of Ohio, and what you get? Well, they're going on the road to play Northwestern, so this is going to be probably an under bet as well, but the spread hasn't come up by the time I recorded this, so I am taking the plus 9.5. I think this sucker goes down to 7 or below. All right. Well, there you have it. We're going to have a great second show for you with some huge plays for college weekend coming in a couple days. But as of right now, we're going to bring on D-Nasty for some fantasy football week 8. All right. Now, I'd like to bring back D-Nasty to cover fantasy football week 9. This episode is brought to you by Thrive Fantasy DFS. It is a fantasy site for prop betting. If you'd like a $10 bonus, please visit theoddsbreakers.com/thrive-dfs. Dave, how the hell you doing, man? How'd fantasy treat you this week?
Pretty good. Like always, but welcome back, fantasy footballers. A little rough shape from the Packer game yesterday. I went there myself. Watched Aaron Rodgers have the perfect quarterback rating at 158.9. And have 6 touchdowns, so not a bad day at all.
Oh, hold your horses. He played the Raiders. Come on. Oh, man. It was a and when they said, Valdez-Scantling and Allison and everyone's out, I was like, yeah, right. Most of those guys are going to play, and apparently they did. So
they did.
Matt LaFleur is so sneaky. Well, we'll see what happens in Kansas City land, but I'll tell you, it's pretty nice to not have to play against Mahomes, isn't it, this week?
Yeah, I would like to beat him with Mahomes, though, just so we can see how good we really are.
We'll see what happens, because if there's any coach that's good with backup quarterbacks, I think it's Andy Reid. So we'll see. I think that Matt Moore might have a decent game here. So, we'll see. Obviously, that defense is pretty bad, though. So hopefully it's a competitive game for the fans, but I'm sure as a Packer fan, you just want to blow out. I guess we can go right into this then, Dave. Bye weeks, looks like we have Baltimore and Dallas, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, and so you got Lamar Jackson there, you got Dak Prescott, a couple of Ezekiel Elliott, obviously, Amari Cooper, Joey Gallup, it's been a long day. Michael Gallup, and you're gonna have to bench some of those guys. Ingram, obviously, for Baltimore running back. Marquise Brown's been injured, but there might be some other guys that you're playing. Andrews, the tight end, right? And jumping right into this Monday night game we're recording, and it's almost over here. I bet the under in this game, and it looks like the Patriots might score the over themselves. 33-0, man. How big of a bust is Le'Veon Bell, Ben? And, man, this team doesn't look good, does it?
No. I stayed away from Le'Veon Bell in a lot of my leagues. I didn't draft him in any of my leagues, actually, just because I didn't like to. At the beginning of the year, I told everyone their line is not good and their team is not good, so I stayed away from him all my leagues.
Yeah, I stayed away from Le'Veon Bell, and I thought he would just get, obviously, a ton of carries, but I don't think it matters. it might not even matter. So, this team, obviously the Patriots defense is really good, but sorry for all you Jets owners out there. You didn't get anything this week so far, and into the fourth quarter, it's not looking good. I'll go right into key injuries, David. I'm sure you have a few extra than I do. Obviously, the huge one that happened on Thursday night, Pat Mahomes. Thank God that only just a dislocated knee, and he could be back in 2 weeks even, and he's going to miss the Packer game. But they said, it's a 3 to 5 week injury. No, nothing torn there in the knee, so that's great. Great news. I think, the league's better with Patty Mahomes, right? And
I agree.
He's such a fantasy stud. Matt Ryan sprained his ankle really bad, and I didn't get a latest report on that one. Dave, did you?
Nothing updated on yet. He's going to go for MRI, so nothing yet. They haven't updated it yet.
I can see him missing a week, Not that team's any good or anything. Adam Thielen has a pulled hammy, but he's day to day. Will Fuller has a bad pulled hammy, so he's week to week. He'll miss a couple weeks. Delanie Walker banged up his ankle, but is day to day. Kerryon Johnson banged up his knee, but is day to day. And Marquise Goodwin has a head injury. Still more to come on that, but that's all I have for injuries. Dave, do you have anything?
No, we have Matt Breida. He left with a concussion, but he was cleared to come back in, so keep an eye on that. Ito Smith was carted off the field with head and neck injuries. He's going to be out for a while, it sounds like, as well. So we'll talk about his backup for him in a little bit here. Rex Burkhead was out again tonight with a foot. And then a few other just smaller injuries just on the defense. But other than that, that's all I had as well.
Well, there you go. All right. So why don't you start us out with the waiver wire then, Dave?
All right, great. Well, on the waiver wire, actually, one of the guys I do like this week, if you have Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott, you wouldn't think of this guy, but Ryan Tannehill, he's actually been playing very well this past week for the Titans. He had 312 yards, two TDs, and an interception. First time a quarterback's passed for more than 300 yards and multiple touchdowns since week 12 of last season. Sorry, Mariota. But yes, you definitely want to take a look at him. Guy you might want to talk about a little bit, Mitchell Trubisky. He's actually came back this week only after taking a week off. They might have wanted to rest him another week after his performance this week, but we'll definitely take a look at him if you need a bye week fill-in. Cam Newton actually is coming back possibly this week. He's back at practice this week ahead of the team's week 8 contest against the 49ers, which is a tough defense, though. So you might not want to start him this week, but going forward, though, Cam will be back, so that's a guy you want to take a look at. And then Brian Hill, we were just talking about Atlanta. Devontae Freeman left the game this past week, and so did Ito Smith. So Brian Hill is the last man standing there, so he's definitely a guy you'll want to take a look at if Freeman's not able to play. He probably will play, but he still struggled even though if he does play. So definitely take a look at him. Another guy we mentioned last week who blew up this week, Chase Edmonds. He went off this week. David Johnson only played like 3 to 6 snaps this past week. Who knew that was going to happen? But Chase Edmonds, definitely the guy you want to pick up to replace David Johnson if he is out again.
Yeah, 100%. Chase Edmonds was absolutely amazing, and I have him on a league, and I benched him for David Johnson. But now that David Johnson just still seems aggravated or banged up, he didn't play a lot, right?
Exactly.
I'm just curious about what the hell happened there. And I hate it when they play a player that shouldn't be playing because it screws up everyone's fantasy. I definitely would have started Edmonds. It's so stupid. It's like he played, what, one drive and leaves? What a waste. Totally agree with a lot of your moves there. Edmonds, just he might even keep those carries in a huge share after this week going forward, even if Johnson comes back the way he played. Reminds me a little bit of Austin Eckler over there, right?
I agree. I definitely agree. He's at least get some carries. He's not going to get the workload David Johnson's getting, but he's definitely going to cut into David Johnson's workload going forward. I agree.
And looks like he's getting some passes too. I got Matt Moore, obviously, for the Mahomes injury. And not that he's might be the best quarterback on the waiver wire, but Andy Reid might scheme some dinks and dunks for him, some throws to Kelsey. He could get lucky again with a Tyreek Hill throw. I think he's worth, you know, filling in. And I like what you said about Mitch Trubisky. He's playing a really banged-up Chargers team. I like him on the waiver wire. If Kirk Cousins is on the waiver wire, which he is in a lot of leagues, then you got to pick him up playing the Redskins. He would be probably my number one choice if he's out there. Hate to say it, but somehow after that Bears game, he's playing out of his mind. Kareem Hunt, he's going to be active week 10. It's now time to pick him up for week 8 and just let him marinate for a little bit. I can see him getting a lot of play with the Browns here. And if Chubb ever gets injured, you know, he's going to get a lot of play. Alex Erickson, 14 targets for the Bengals, over 130 yards. He's stepping up there. Devontae Parker, owned in only 14% of leagues, had a TD, I believe, this week. And Fitzmagic seems to like him. And Fitzmagic also likes Olabisi Johnson, wide receiver. Or sorry, not Fitzmagic. I mean, Cousins likes him. If Thielen is out, but Thielen looks like he's going to play, but Johnson got some good targets there. Ty Johnson, if Kerryon Johnson is out for the Lions, and it looks like it's day-to-day, Ty Johnson is his handcuff. He should be owned anyway, I think, as a handcuff. And Will Fuller has that nasty hammy injury. I like Kiki Kuti from the Houston Texans for your waiver wire. So, trending up, Dave. I'll start out with this. And okay. I have Mitch Trubisky. And the reason is I can see a bounce back game. He had a terrible game against the Saints. I mean, scored all his points in the fourth quarter, but maybe that fourth quarter gave him some confidence. But he's playing a really banged up Chargers team. He could be a fill in this week. And same thing with Allen Robinson. He's trending up. A lot of people aren't starting him because of Mitch. Well, I think he's going to be a starter, a wide receiver too this week. Kirk Cousins, like I said before about the Redskins, Josh Allen playing a bad Eagles secondary. I think this is going to be the game he can complete some good passes. Marvin Jones, wow, he have a game last week. What, did he have three or four touchdowns?
Four touchdowns.
Oh, my God. It's like, that's what he does, man. I owned him like last year and the year before, and he does nothing. He always has one game that he blows up that everybody benched him in, but at least he's facing a terrible Giants secondary this week. So Marvin Jones has a great shot of being good this week. Vance McDonald, tight end for the Steelers, is playing the Dolphins. I like Vance. Obviously, Kiki Kuti versus the Raiders D. DK Metcalf, wide receiver, versus a terrible Falcons secondary for Seattle is a start, I believe. Jared Cook, tight end, versus a bad Cardinals D for the Saints. So those are my trending up, Dave. Who are yours?
I definitely like those. I like the Cousins pick. I like him a lot. I like DK Metcalf. Another guy, too, for Houston you don't want to forget about, Kenny Stills. He had quite a few targets this past week and over 100 yards. I could see him getting more catches going forward and more targets, too, going forward. So it's going to be really between him and Kiki, but I like Stills over Kiki a little bit for that one, though. I do like Mason Rudolph this week as well. He's coming off a bye. He's back from the concussion as well. I do like him. I think he's a nice sleeper against the Dolphins' horrible defense as well. I do like him. And then Blake Snell Jr., if he's still the backup there, depending on Jalen Samuels' injury and if he's coming back this week or not. But I like Benny Snell, if he against the Dolphins as well, as the backup to James Conner. James Conner should be healthy now, but just in case those two running backs are still banged up, I like him. And then Packers against the Chiefs. I like the Packers. I like MVS, the guy I talked about at the beginning of the year. Chiefs give up a lot of points every time. I think this could be a shootout, and it could be kind of fun to watch, even with more starting in place of Mahomes. And I do like the Lions, too, as well. Those receivers against the Giants' poorest defense, I like that. And then Lions actually gave up quite a few points this past week. So even Golden Tate and Slayton for the Giants could be good people to look at, too, for this week's matchup.
Yeah, Golden Tate went off as well. I mean, big time. But unfortunately it wasn't enough because that Giants D is just so bad. But, you know, he'll want to have a big game because it's his former team. He played for the Lions a couple years, right? So
exactly.
So we'll see what happens there. All right, well, let's move right into Bus, Dave. And why don't you start out?
Redskins. Anyone playing for the Redskins? Vikings have been looking a lot better. So anyone playing for the Redskins who are they're starting at quarterback these days, they keep rotating it. So I can see Haskins starting down the line. But, yeah, anyone on the Redskins right now, Adrian Peterson, I don't see him doing anything against the Vikings, against their run D. Definitely anyone there. Falcons, they're just a mess right now, too. They're playing a good Seahawks team. They're at Atlanta, but with Matt Ryan possibly out, that offense could be in trouble. Julio Jones, I'd even downgrade him a little bit just if Matt Ryan is out. So we're not sure about that yet, though. But definitely a guy I'd be downgrading right now. And then another guy that downgrading is Phillip Rivers in that offense. Melvin Gordon has just looked horrible, and I don't see it getting any better against the Bears defense. I think the Bears defense is going to play well this week against a poor Chargers team that's been playing very poorly this week.
Yeah, you know, Melvin Gordon, he didn't do himself any favors now coming back and not doing anything. That's not going to set you up for a good contract there, pal. So, lots of injuries, and they just lost one of their starting guards for the season this week. So now everything on the Chargers is kind of going to shit. And, you know, Eckler was great for the first couple, three, four games is fantastic. And now everything's just in chaos mode with him and hard to start Eckler now. He's flex worthy maybe, but it's just so tough. So for my bus, I have Kyler Murray, and they had that big win, but now they're playing the Saints, and the Saints D is obviously legit. It's looking like, to me, it's looking like the Saints versus the Patriots for the Super Bowl. Sorry, I know you're Packers, Dave, whatever, but yeah, they'd probably be my third pick. I think it's going to be the Saints number one, the Niners two, and the Packers are probably third in my favorites list, but they're not that far from each other. And the Packers, if they, you know, keep making strides here, who knows? You know, they might be awesome by the end of the year. Jarvis Landry is a bust because he's playing the Patriots, and I think Odell Beckham's going to get most of the targets. Joe Mixon versus the Rams. Hopefully Aaron Donald doesn't pick him up like a ragdoll like he did to Devontae Freeman and start doing curls with him. Did you see that?
Oh, I did. That was awesome.
Oh, it was awesome. Miles Sanders, running back for the Eagles versus a Buffalo Bills very tough run defense. Nick Chubb for the he's playing the Patriots. I don't like his matchup either. I think he's going to get stuck. And David Johnson against the Saints, I don't like him at all. So we'll see what happens. Those are my busts, my friend. And do you want to go right into your D nasty sleeper of the week?
You bet. My D nasty sleeper of the week this week, a guy I just talked about in this podcast tonight, is going to be Mason Rudolph. I like his matchup, Monday Night Football, coming back from his concussion and playing a weak Dolphins team. I'm taking Mason Rudolph as my D-Nasty Sleeper of the Week.
There you go. I like it. Great pick there. And I like Kiki Kuti. And I know you like Stills there, but every time somebody gets injured, whenever Fuller goes out on this Texans team, it's Kiki getting the love. So we'll see what happens. That's my nasty sleeper of the week, Dave. Any final thoughts for Fantasy Football Week 9?
No, and one other thought, too, is Baker Mayfield's been struggling, too, and I don't like him as well against the Patriots. And then two other guys that were on my sleeper list that we didn't talk about is the two receivers for the Titans, A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. I could see them coming around the next couple weeks against the matchups that they have, too, with Ryan Tannehill back at quarterback.
All right, well, there you go. Good matchups. It means big fantasy wins, especially if you have DFS. You want to get the cheap guys that have the best options to make it happen. Thanks a lot, Dave, for coming back on, giving us your waiver picks, your injuries, and all that great stuff, my man. I know you're tired. Go get some sleep. And all you listeners out there, have a fantastic week, and go get some winners.